A performance worth of a goodbye. 2 goals, 1 assist for Rafa as he said goodbye to Estadio Luz. That and much more in another night, another podcast.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo.
Quiero Benfica intimidar al adversario. Quiero un man sagrado entrar con vocês en cualquier estado y asustados, pa. Es isso que eu quero.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica Pat podcast. The penultimate episode of this season's podcast. Here we are, episode 528. My name is Alfredo. I'm here, as always, with Cristiano Oliveira. Como é que é, amigo? Tudo bem?
Espera aí, bro. Sometimes my English escapes me. When you say the penultimate, does that mean that there's actually more podcasts after this one?
I just keep messing that up on purpose, just in case you haven't realized. No, today. So no. Wait a second. This is
today. Would be the penultimate.
Today will be the penultimate. So
I'm saying.
I was right.
I know. So I know. I wasn't questioning your English. I was questioning mine. Just saying. So penultimate. That means that there's this one. There's more after this.
There's one more after this one. Our infamous. End of season episode, the buy, keep, sell segment everybody loves so much.
I'm glad, bro. There's so much to talk about, you know? Exciting times at the Stade de Luz. Everybody's in a festive mood. Phenomenal. What's going on, Alfredo? Smash the like button, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Welcome to all the Freddies.
And
thanks for tuning in once again.
Yeah, and if it's your first time watching this, hit the notification bell so you could be notified when we're on live. I was sitting on the... I was sitting downstairs on the couch, getting into inside my head for podcast head, and my wife got a notification. He says, oh, you got podcast tonight? I just got a notification that you're going live in 30 minutes. So, if you ever want to be notified that we're coming on live, you know what to do. Hit that little notification bell so you can be notified. Not many more podcasts to go. This one and another one. But Dave D'Oliveira, what's happening?
What's going on, Alfredo and Cristiano? Good to be back on. We're just counting down the days here for the end of the season to put a bow on it. Dig it in the ground and bury it, never talk or think about it again afterwards.
Yeah, countdown the days is right. But look, I think that with this past weekend's game, we don't have much to complain. A 5-0 win over Arouca at Estadio de Luz.
We can complain.
We can always complain.
I know if you really want to go down that road. I mean, podemos ganhar por mais, bro.
Was that it?
I was gonna say the way that some supporters and some people I saw on Twitter thought we were losing 5-0 based on.
Bro, did you? I didn't see that. That one I didn't catch.
No, look, I don't think I've ever been so indifferent about a 5-0 game. I guess in a way it speaks to, you know, it's the end of the season. We got nothing to play for. The things that we talk about here on a podcast in terms of let's get those younger kids into a routine, used to playing at Stade de Luz when there's less pressure, give them some burn out there with the usual titulares, you know, and we hoped for that. We wished for that. But did we see it? Nope.
No, we did. Oh, I'm over chewing on Sour Patches. But we did see a unicorn in this game, though.
We saw a unicorn.
Thanks, Ted scoring.
That's the other one.
Casper actually shot and it went on goal.
That's right.
He actually attempted a shot on goal and he scored.
Went around the keeper.
We don't see many of those.
Yeah. Went around the keeper. Yeah, but with, we'll be talking about the Arouca game. We'll also be looking ahead to Rio Ave, which is the last game of the season. And obviously.
No, we're not, Alfredo.
We could do that. let's just let it roll. You know, I was telling this to Dave before you came on, Cristiano, but I'll tell everybody. So during the afternoon, I texted Cristiano and I said, Cristiano, it would be really, really cool if we did shots and we drank throughout the whole show, and this would be our drunk show. And he wasn't too warm on that idea.
No, I can't. Unfortunately, I don't drink. I can't do. But you, the two of you can. I mean, I'll gladly.
But you taking medication, right? That's why.
I almost wish you would, because I like to see Alfredo let loose. Because you're normally the reserved one on here. It's either me and Dave going at each other or going at somebody. And you're like the guy that's just driving the bus along and like, hey, pit stop. Go ahead, Chris, jump in. What do you got to say? Now it's Dave's chance. So, like, yeah, I'd like to see you a little bit, content, happy.
Hey, I don't think it would be happy, though.
Chris, we all know what happened last time I was drunk and we attempted to do a podcast, right?
No, I don't remember.
Drunk on that Peach Crown Royal at your house. And
no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I remember doing the podcast, but I don't remember anything else.
You remember me trying to attempt to turn on the mixer, the computer, and I couldn't figure it out. Oof.
I mean, that was like, 6 years? That was a long time ago. But yeah, we at least attempted. I mean, I'll tell you this much. That Peach Crown Royals sure did taste good at the time.
It did. It went down smooth that by the time I got up, I was like, oof.
I think we should get a bottle and sit down and sit with Roger Schmidt and have a conversation over Crown Royal. What do you think?
I don't know, man.
It'd be an interesting conversation.
After that night, I don't know if I could smell a Peach Crown Royal, man. It's just...
No, I didn't say you have to drink it. Roger.
I think Roger's going to need a lot more than just Peach Crown Royal. Maybe he needs...
Roger on the Congarra Points, Ron Rossi. Vinho Tinto, Rossi.
Carlo Rossi.
Carlo Rossi.
Hey, Dave, what's that that chemical that they inject you with the truth serum? Sodium pentanol or something like that? The truth serum?
Oh, I don't know. I'm the stats guy. I'm not a physician.
Where's Carlos when we need him? Yeah, it's sodium pentanol, I think it is. And if it's not, that's...
And what's that do?
It's truth serum. For once, he was going to say how crappy the team has been all season instead of top game, top players, top...
But is that a real thing or are you making it up? So, like, they'll inject you with truth syrup?
Yeah, truth serum. With the sodium pentanol.
Serum? I've never heard of that, bro.
Truth
but
serum.
I mean, I know I got a group of friends that can sure as hell use that, though. You know what I mean? Because them guys lie through their teeth. So, it's the first time I hear about it.
You like to watch so many spy movies and series, and you never seen anybody get injected
with
that?
I do. It's my favorite. It's my love. With truth serum?
Truth serum.
É para se fosse assim tão fácil, não havia mentiroso neste mundo, bro.
Zepisa is here. He's going to help us out. Zé,
who?
Zepisa. Zé, help us out. What is that chemical that people get injected with? That's a truth serum. It's
sodium pentanol.
I think it is sodium pentanol.
You watch too many sci-fi movies, bro. And there's a bit too many Star Wars.
No, I'm dead serious. That's
Dave. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of truth serum, but not the actual chemical name.
Sodium pentanol, I think it is.
Dave, think about your president right now. The way things are in your country, he'd be injecting everybody with that shit.
He wouldn't want to know my real truths, though. But I might end up in Siberia. If that was the case.
They're gonna start checking your Twitter from tweets from 10 years ago. So. Oh.
If they haven't already done so yet.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll inject people with that. But yeah, that's crazy. I never heard of that, but that's what's up.
Before we start talking about the Roca game, let me say hello to all the Freddies. I already said hi to Zepisa, Kevin, Chico, Manny Valadão, Cristiano Oliveira, Diogo Reis.
Isn't pentanol like what they inject NASCAR cars with? Pentanol or something like that?
That's ethanol.
There was an all in there. I knew it was close. It was close. See, look, yes, that's it. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. Sodium pentanol. Yeah, anyway. Back into the Soroka game. I'll give you the lineup and we'll get started. Trubin was a goal. Oshness, Silva, Otamendi, and Carreras. Tino and Neves back in the middle. Di Maria and João Mario on the sides. Kokshu behind Rafa. Decided to go to with that mobile front again. When you have Tankstead on the bench, Tankstead who is present and all the important decisions for Benfica, but now he's no good for Roca. Go figure.
And he's available because the other two strikers, for some mysterious reason or another, I guess they're injured. Right?
Yeah, no, but
the reports came out that they're injured.
But let me,
they're gone. Yeah,
Cristiano, you're absolutely right. But let me say something, right? The lineup was announced, and it's usually announced 1 hour before game time. And it was announced, the lineup plus the benches, and nowhere on the bench or on the lineup is Marcos Leonardo or Artur Cabral. So it kind of leaves you kind of scratching your head. It was like, whoa, was there a blow up at the Seixal? It's a Brazilian revolt. Nothing. And then during the pre-show, maybe half hour into the pre-show and a half hour before the game started, the guys at BTV did say that Marcos Leonardo were hurt and Cabral were hurt. But begs the question, right? Because once upon a time, Benfica used to have a boletim clínico, right, where they would announce the players that were injured, right? So everybody knew. So now, half hour before the start of the game, every single fan is wondering why Cabral and Marcos Leonardo are not on the lineup and creating these narratives inside their heads. It's the typical...
Yeah, including the admin from the Benfica podcast, Twitter.
Yeah, Chris, including you.
Me? Yeah, but now I'm the admin. But no, I'll take a bullet.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, Alfredo, I understand both sides of the coin. You know what I mean? I get it that, like, it'd be nice to know, but at the same time, like, game day, does it really matter as long as they, you know, they let you know? I guess, I don't know. I guess it's always nice to know, and especially today and age where there's so much gambling involved. Yeah, I guess it'd be important to let people know. I'm trying to.
Yeah, but I mean,
look for reasons why not to care. But
look, I know that if you're a professional gambler, you're obviously waiting for the lineups to come out in order to pick a goal scorer or to even give us a stab at what the final result or how many goals are going to be scored. But certainly that's important to know. But I don't know. I think, Cristiano, in a way, we're kind of spoiled by American sports, where every day there's a bulletin, a clinical bulletin that comes out on the active teams of what players are active, where
teams
are injured. You know.
Unless you follow hockey. Hockey is like you got your arm chopped off, like upper body injury.
Upper body, never, like, lower body. That's
lower, they don't tell you anything. Out. Like you're missing an arm, like upper body. You know what I mean? Alfredo, in other sports, you're right.
Yeah.
Especially baseball and stuff, they let you know, on daily updates and all that stuff. But yeah, look, let's get back to the game.
Yeah.
To the lineup.
Go ahead, Cristiano. You got.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at this lineup and like I understand Rafa playing. It's his last game. I guess he told the coaching staff and the front office. I guess the day before, whatever it was. That this will be his last game at the Stade de Luz because he has made a decision that he is not coming back. And so I understand him playing. But in terms of like, you know, I love Di Maria. But Di Maria, João Mário, like what are you playing these guys? Honestly, Di Maria, give the guy a break, let him rest, who cares? João Mário, I just don't understand. You have kids that are looking to make their debut. You have other kids that have played been on the team all year long and really haven't gotten that many minutes. I thought it was an opportunity to rotate, an opportunity to get some of these kids an experience to play in a pretty much, I don't want to say sold out because it was short, but still 50,000 fans in the stadium. A lot of these young kids haven't played in atmospheres like that. Even though it was going to – and again, it could have been one of those hot atmospheres in terms of people protesting, or it could have been what it turned out to be, a festa. But nonetheless, I don't understand. Like, there was nothing at stake in this game, win or lose.
Yep.
You're going to finish in the same position. So, I don't want people to say, I know some people are listening to this, and they're going to say, here comes Chris being negative once again. But I just think that even when you have an opportunity with nothing at stake to play some of the young kids, you're playing the João Mário of this world. For what? Explain to me. For what?
Yeah.
What do you – I mean – What do you have to gain by doing that? I just do not understand.
I think looking at this lineup, you can make the argument for Rollheiser to get the start instead of João Mário, right? Even though Rollheiser has been deployed more on the right, but that's not to say that he can't play on the left. I think that Rollheiser has done a lot more than Gouveia in terms of wanting more minutes or calling out.
No, I don't know. I think Gouveia's had his flashes. I think Rojas has had his flash. The one thing that obviously is in Rojas's favor is something I mentioned to you guys, I think in the recent podcast, which was, what's the point in paying 500,000 euros for to have this guy? You know, it you combine it with every decision made throughout the season, and it just leaves you scratching your head because, as we've seldomly said here on the podcast, none of us understand what the hell's going on. We don't know what's the coach's mind. When we say it's one thing, the opposite happens. So I don't know. But again, it's an opportunity to give this kid his first start. Yep. Now, if it is, let's just say, because there's no confirmation one way or another, but let's just say that Di Maria does leave. Rafa's obviously leaving. That's two winger spots that are going to be up for grabs. And let's say Rojas in the preseason plays really well, and now he's going to get the first crack at the right wing position, for example, right?
Yep.
I know Shaldrup would be coming back or whatnot, but, you know, there's other guys that they're going to have a say. But let's just, for this hypothetical reason, let's just go with this, right? Rojas plays really well. He gets, and now the guy's going to be shitting his pants. You know, he didn't get a start at the Blues. You know what I mean? This is an opportunity for him to break the ice.
Yep.
And I just think that's the way you properly manage a roster. Give these kids opportunities, you know, that these guys are not going to be nervous the night before the game and all this stuff. And I don't know, man. And I say this often, and some of you listeners might actually believe in this, but
nobody does.
Yeah, that's that's the majority of us. We think we know, but it's either há muitos burros ou eu que sou grande burro. Como é que dizia o escolar? E o burro sou eu. But yeah. But look, a typical end of season game, sunny Stade de Luz. I always like to see Stade de Luz in a daylight. It's always a much prettier sight. Chances right off the bat. Rafa with the chance in the sixth minute. João Mário with that redirect that hit the post. João Neves with his header. You know, but it finally in the 25th minute we would get the up on a scoreboard, PK from Di Maria. After offering, Dave, Di Maria took the ball, offered to Rafa because he felt that, go ahead, it's your last game, and look, if we don't create chances and you don't score goals, at least you'll get a half a chance here. And my man just said no.
That's Rafa's, put a bow on it, that's Rafa's career, right? Like, how am I going to put this nicely? Because I don't know if I'm in the majority and the minority here, but like, it's a sending off present, like you said, and it's not even like there's a lot of pressure on. I don't know why the guy didn't want to take the penalty. I don't know if he doesn't feel confident in penalties. He never has and never will, or what have you be, but it seemed like he couldn't be bothered and just let Di Maria take it. But little things like that just bother me with them. I know, I think, like I said, I think I might be in the minority here, and I know he got his flowers on this past weekend. For me, it's thank you for your years of service, but time to move on with him.
Yeah, but credit to the guy for a quick, I can't believe I'm defending the guy. But credit to Rafa here, right? Credit to Rafa, Dave. If, and again, we don't know, right? What we saw on Sunday was João Mário, his teammates trying to convince him. Obviously, Di Maria, as Alfredo mentioned, and he's still sitting no. But if the guy has been saying no all along, right, in his last couple of seasons, not taking it back, hey, credit to him for saying, you know what? Fuck it, I haven't taken him. I'm not going to take an easy one here. A lot of guys would have, right? But if he has been turning them down, and now I don't recall, like, he didn't take any of the PKs against Marseille. He didn't take any of these PKs.
I'm trying to think.
Maybe the guy just does. Yeah, he did. No, against Marseille, he didn't, for sure. Because it was Di Maria, Coxu, Otamendi, and
he might have already been subbed off.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ned. Forget that. Roger doesn't make subs. I think.
No, but then you're right. I don't recall now. But maybe you're right. But the point is that I don't recall Rafa taking many penalties in his time at Benfica.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to defend the guy, right? If because somebody has to. If he's been turning him down, so credit to him for not saying, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna take it now. That's it.
Yeah. And then in the 31st minute, another PK. And again, offered to Rafa. And Goksu said, fuck it. If you don't want it, I'll take it. I probably got some kind of goal bonus clause in my contract, and I need all the goals I could get.
See, Goksu bothered me more than Rafa.
Why? Because he was a greedy bastard?
No. Because if that was me, shit, I'm taking the ball too. But no. Bothered me more because he scores a PK and then, like, stares down the crowd like, you want to score a goal to what, to show your displeasure? Like, what are you doing?
I think in his defense, the keeper was chirping.
Was
chirping him
here,
before taking the shot.
You're right, Dave. I remember seeing the video.
He was telling the goalie to be quiet. Yeah. That's what happened on that one. I remember catching that.
Dude,
it's correct. Good job, Dave.
Yeah, and I think that we've seen throughout the season, the little that we've seen of Goksu, that he has this leadership that he doesn't take shit from anyone.
He defends
what he believes in, right?
He's got that attitude.
But it's, I think that there's a certain element of leadership too. I think that more attitude than anything else. But I think it's a guy that kind of defends the interests of the team, even if it's just himself, you know, defending himself.
Exactly.
But you know, yeah. But 2-0 Benfica, and then to close out the half, 3-0. That one time, Rafa scored off an Auschwitz assist. That was the goal to the upper 90, close range, by Rafa outside the box.
I tell you, Rafa scored 2 in this game, and I was waiting for you guys to mention his goals, whatever. But Rafa scored 2 in this game, and if you take it back to when we first started talking about this game, and I said that, you know, we could always complain that we could have been up by more. Rafa missed 2 clear chances.
He did.
Before.
Wait, yep.
So
yep.
The guy could have easily finished with 4 goals in this game.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but look, not much to say about the first half. It was a pretty easy game. I don't think Aroca had a shot on goal that whole first half, if I could recall. Dave, could you look up the stats real quick? I don't think they had maybe 1 or 2 shots on goal the whole game, if I recall. But yeah, second half, open up the second half with Rafa's second goal off of a Carreras assist, 4-0 Benfica. Then in the 65th minute, started doing the subs, and I almost fell my chair, 65th minute. But then again, you're up 3-0 at the half, nothing to play for. Why can't guys get in at the half? You have 5 subs, my man. 5 subs.
Hey, at least he made the 5 subs this match here. He didn't save them in his pockets.
Yep. Murato came in for Antonio Silva. Gouveia came in for Tino. Then in the 76th minute, more subs. Rollheiser this time for Di Maria. Tengsted came in for Goksu. And then Tengsted would get his goal 1 minute later off of a Rafa assist. Tengsted went around the goalie and did not miss the goal. 5-0 for Benfica. And that's how the game would finish. No losses at home for Benfica all season. And I don't know if that's domestic or overall. Dave, I guess you could check me out.
That's a league competition.
League competition.
Yeah,
because we did. We lost to Leipzig.
No, nah, it was more than league competition. No,
but we lost to Leipzig.
We lost to Leipzig and Sociedad. No, maybe drew against Sociedad, but that first match in Champions League against Leipzig, there we dropped.
That was the one game we lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, but undefeated in league competition this season.
Because I thought I saw we won 22 or 23 games at home or something like that. That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah. Okay. We also saw in the last minutes of
João Rego.
I to be honest with you, I hadn't heard of João Rego.
That kid's nice. That kid's nice.
But from what I heard, he still needs quite a bit of time at the B team in order to step.
I'm gonna make a bold.
Don't get people excited, Chris. Why are you
I'm gonna say. You know, I barely do when it comes to this, but I'm a bold comment from me. Everybody's gassing up Gouveia, and I think this kid's gonna be a better player.
That's it. Let me
keep going.
Dave,
keep going,
write it down. 10:04
May 14th.
Cristiano predicts Regu will.
May the 14 be with you.
I'll put that in the same drawer with Ferreira and those other guys. Yeah. Too.
Ronnie Lopes. All of Chris's predictions.
Ronnie didn't come.
No, he didn't.
Listen, I gave up on predict once Cavani let me down, bro. That was it.
You got burned.
My international.
You got burned with that Cavani, bro.
My international. I would have been the Fabrizio Romano of this world, but yeah, once Cavani screwed me over, that was it. I quit. I gave that up. That was it.
All right, now instead of people praising Fabrizio Romano, it would be Fabrizio Cristiano. Would have been the man.
Kevin is saying that Benfica also lost to Sporting, the Taça da Liga. Yeah,
I think it was only domestic.
Taça da Liga, Taça Portugal. Yeah, so I guess it was domestic. But we didn't play 23 league games, though. Because I saw like 22 or 23, unless I'm bugging. But I could have sworn I saw something like out of the 23 home games we played or something like that. I don't know. What is on them?
All right,
it's been such a memorable season that it's hard to remember every little thing. You know what I'm saying?
You got selective memory all season long. Let's talk about Rafa, though. Sometimes a polarizing figure, a little bit of an introvert, if you ask me. Not a guy that's too showy, not a man of too many words. I think that
ooh.
Rafa. I think that. Wasn't a guy that was necessarily a fan favorite or that had a consistent relationship with fans or that was loved throughout. I mean, he was definitely a guy that was capable of the best and capable of the worst. And I think a lot of times it frustrated fans. But I think that there's guys out there that swear by Rafa that he was one of the best players that we've seen in the past 10 years at Benfica. Certainly, you can make an argument that you could look at his numbers: 326 games for Benfica, 94 goals, 67 assists. I mean, those are significant numbers. As a matter of fact, this last goal at Stade Luz equaled Pizzi in all-time scorers for Benfica. So you know, it's a guy that, despite having some odd moments. Some more than quiet moments, was a guy that goes on in history. Will he be a guy that is in the rotunda? His face will be in the rotunda? I don't think so. But certainly with the numbers that he's had and the titles
have some guys there. They have some guys in that rotunda campeones that don't belong there, so I would not be shocked.
Like who, Cristiano?
There,
who would you
think? I don't want to say stop trying to instigate. Stop trying to gaslight shit. Stop it. Leave it alone. I already got enough hate.
Yeah, but look, I think when you look at Rafa and when I remember Rafa, right, and every time I'll remember Rafa, the only thing that I'll remember Rafa is that long slalom goal from before midfield, scores the goal,
on a counterattack,
and does not celebrate. Like this will go on as highlight reel as one of his best goals. You could probably say top five goals for sure, right, of his career, and he scored a lot. And my man just finishes doing a play like that, and no celebration whatsoever, just stone cold. And I think that's in a way that's how I kind of remember Rafa, a guy that was. Like I said, capable of the best, but also a guy that at times you'd scratch your head is like, wait a second, where's this guy coming from? So, but I don't know. Cristiano, you want to say a word about Rafa?
Yeah, I mean, look, Rafa will be remembered. First time at Benfica for sure. Rafa will be one of those frustrating players in 15, 20 years that we'll talk about, you know, that had the potential for so much more. He's won titles at Benfica. He's had fantastic runs. But we're all going to remember the most inconsistent part of his game, unfortunately for him. It'll be like, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It'll be bittersweet. In a way, right? Because we'll be sitting back and saying how Yes, he put up 90 whatever goals you mentioned, right? But at the same time, the bitter part is that we all feel like the word I was looking for is unfulfilled. There's so much unfulfilled promise from this player that, yes, he had his moments, but we feel like he could have still done better.
Yeah. What about you, Dave? How do you remember Rafa?
I think Cristiano just hit on the head. No, I don't have Rafa's jersey. Thank
nah,
God.
They've got real legends.
No, unfilled potential, unfilled promise. And it's just like a guy that never really showed. He may have, or I'm not. I don't want to necessarily question his ability to care, but he just never really showed that he was always giving it his all. He always, like Alfredo said, he's always had that stone cold face. And when he was hot, but man, those 3-4 month spells where he'd go goalless and just would look like a shadow of himself. I think unfortunately that's how I'm going to remember Rafa by, not so much when he was hot, because more than not, as soon as you knew that hot streak was coming, you knew around the corner that the cold spell was not too far away either. So thank you for his years of service, but I said, time to move on.
I think the thing we most repeated here on this podcast over the years about a guy like Rafa, not a guy like Rafa, about Rafa, I should say more specifically, was that when Rafa was on, he was the best player in Portugal, or was right there in the conversation as the best player in Portugal. But then those 2 months would be short-lived, and then that was it. Like, the guy would just disappear. He did it this year, too. Well, he didn't score a goal for, I don't know, since, I don't know, October. I don't know. The guy went months without scoring goals. Yeah. But when he was on, he was unplayable. And Benfica was obviously putting up wins and putting up points and demolishing teams. But then he just completely disappear off the face of the earth. So look,
I was just gonna say, guys like him and PT, they almost kind of overstayed their welcome, right? If they were able to move on right after their career years in goal scored or just having a career year, and we moved on from him, we could have just left it on a high. Instead, I feel like the both of those guys that just come to mind, where they almost overstayed the welcome. And what's the saying? You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I feel like that's what happened with Rafa and PC as well.
Here's the thing, Dave. Did they overstay their welcome, or the accurate or falsely the false rumors of these guys being coach killers and being divas in the locker room, was that really what tarnished their reputation? Was it that, or you know, like you
could,
said,
could definitely overstep. Be both, right? Because whether I guess we'll never know because we weren't inside those locker rooms. But I don't know. I'd like to think there's something there with that group of players.
I think that those reputations is really what made them, in your words, right, overstay their welcome.
Yeah.
Because of those reputations. Because if it weren't, you'd be happy that these guys were around. But then you just see coach after coach, right? And then you see this guy, as Alfredo said, score a fucking glossal and not smile. And then you'd see even in this game, he gets subbed off. And Alfredo hasn't mentioned this yet. But he gets subbed off, and then he gets up from the bench, and he's throwing, I guess, telling the
most,
super, I don't know.
It's the most emotional
like
I've seen
support.
Him.
Yeah, the guy's asking for applause.
Let me,
which is like,
yeah. Let me read a comment here by Diogo Reis, which I think it hits the nail right on the head. He says it's hard to like a guy who never showed he liked you back, and I think that's a perfect representation of Rafa in terms of the relationship that he had with the fans.
Isn't there a rumor that he's not Benfiquista?
That he's a Sportingista. Yeah, that's wouldn't what I surprise heard, me. Let me read a couple more things here about Rafa. Diogo Reis also say Rafa's 5 goals in his first 2 seasons. Rafa has 5 goals in his first 2 seasons, consistently the most inconsistent player I've seen at Benfica. Chico Marcelin says, when we look back, we'll be at agridos feeling, similar to Pizzi. Important player, but not loved. Kevin says, yet both were vital to championships. Yeah, completely agree. It's probably his personality, just shy and shit, and or he doesn't showboat, is also what Kevin says. But look, I think that you get these types of mixed reactions, I think. But I think at the biggest thing is that I think that there's players that kind of have a knack to form a relationship with the fans, being by their attitude or by the effort that they put out on the field. You know, and I think that there's guys probably not half as talented as Rafa that are probably more loved by the fan base because they were able to kind of grow that relationship with fans than Rafa has. I think that's facts. So, but you know, look, thank you for your service. I think that, and Dave, I don't know if I subscribe to overstay as welcome. I think the timing is right. And when you think at 8 years, it's 2 contracts of 4. Nobody ever came and snatched them. And I don't think Benfica ever prevented him from leaving if there were offers on the table, as long as there were respectable offers. But I don't know. It's hard to think of. I'm looking back at all the years, and I can't think of ever a rumor that Rafa was going to go somewhere.
No, there was. There were rumors. But the rumor also was that he did not want to leave Portugal. So if he leaves Portugal now, we'll obviously look back at that and say it was BS. But if he stays in Portugal, we're like, oh, okay. There's, you know, but apparently that was the word around the barn.
No, but
that he did not want to leave.
Yeah, he didn't want to leave Portugal. That was, I don't know. I think that if there's somebody that comes knocking with the right opportunity, and if it's a league above the Portuguese league, I don't think that he's turning away from it. If it's a Turkish league or Greece or whatever.
Yeah, but if you're gonna go make 4 mil, right? And you're making 2.5, living in Lisbon, around your like, some guys are just content with that, Alfred. Yeah. I don't know. Again, like you guys said, he's an introvert, look like a shy guy. I don't know. I don't know the guy in person. I remember when I was with Benfica, I spoke to him actually. The most I spoke to Rafa was explaining to him how the American football rules and player, because I remember at practice, it was like 110 players for the University of Pittsburgh on the field. And he's like, what the hell? These guys were shocked because these guys, you know, the football players are ginormous and with the pads on, and they just sat there like frozen looking at these guys. And that's the most I spoke to. Besides that, you see him with his friends. But nobody else, you know, like you never saw that side of Rafa, that he was very outgoing. So we don't know, man. We could look back at all this one day and just say, look, you surely missed this. I mentioned, I think I said back in November or December, I remember I coming on a podcast and saying to both of you guys, say what you want, Rafa's infuriated, Rafa's this, Rafa's that. But you have to re-sign this guy because Rafa is, with Di Maria being as good as he was at certain points of the season, and whomever else you want to say, João Neves, obviously different player, different position on the field, right? But Rafa is still the guy with his speed. He's the most dangerous guy on the field, stretched the field for Benfica, and it helped in terms of Rodgers' system and everything, you know, the quick passing and attacking style, mentality. And I thought, yes, as infuriating as he is, and I remember arguing with Hugo about this, like you almost, I felt like you almost were forced to re-sign this guy because he's still very dangerous. And I believe we had a conversation here, right? We're talking about how speed is the first thing to go, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I just – look, maybe we'll sit here and I will sit here and be talking about, like, another what's his name? The left back that left the Leverkusen?
Grimaldo.
Yeah, maybe we'll be sitting back, and if this coaching staff, this DSL, doesn't do a good job of replacing them with good signings, whatever, we'll be sitting here next year missing a guy like Rafa.
Yeah,
we'll see. I hope that's not the case.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just, to me, at the end of the day, very unfulfilled. I feel like unfinished business for Rafa.
Yeah,
it could have been better.
Look, I remember us having conversations during the season at moments that Benfica wasn't doing that well, and he was the only guy that had some flashes of danger and of brilliance when he was on, as you mentioned. And it was like, how can Benfica get rid of this guy? Because this is the only guy that could create danger, that has one-on-one skills, that could take people on. And at times, that's what we thought about Rafa during the season. And then there were other times it's like, what the fuck is Rafa doing playing 90 minutes? He deserves some bench time. You know, so it's just up and down roller coaster of seasons like it always is for Rafa.
He didn't have any one-on-one ability. What he had was speed. But listen, Sheikh Marcelino asked a very good question. You want to read it?
If you had to choose one player to stay and another player to go between Di Maria and Rafa, who would you choose? That's Di Maria hands down, bro. Come on. That's not – for me, that's not even a question.
Well, I have a question for
– can't answer a question with a question, Cristiano. That's the cardinal rule.
It's my show. I do what I want. when you say stay, for what? For 1 year or for 3 years?
Why you got to get semantics? Semantics.
Because you have to. You have to ask.
It's one more season.
One more season, Di Maria, without a doubt. 3 years, Rafa.
Yeah, I'm on the Di Maria boat too. And I understand why. You know, the length of contract makes a difference, because I don't know if we could get another year like we got out of Di Maria. Played the most games he's ever played in one season at Benfica. I think I read that, and I think that's accurate. How do you go?
Now he has a chance. If they go to the Copa America finals, he's got a chance to play like 64 games or 65 games, something along those lines.
Insane.
But again, I think Di Maria could be very useful and very – you know, productive if managed properly, yeah. Like we all anticipated he was going to be this year.
Didn't.
But he wasn't. But he's still productive.
Yeah,
you know,
I
some
thought
games
so.
He dragged ass, but he still, he scored 15 goals, whatever, yeah, and this and that. I mean, the guy was productive.
I think the games that he dragged ass was because he wasn't being managed properly. Because if he's kept fresh, right, and he's able to still maintain that rhythm where if he sits one game or if he just comes in 45 minutes every now and again when he doesn't start, you know, is he now better managed throughout the season? Is he going to be a guy that gives us more? And I think that we're hoping that Di Maria was going to be properly managed because of his age, because of national team duty. But he wasn't. But at the end of the day, I don't think you could look at Di Maria's year and say that it was a negative year. I thought it was a positive year for Benfica. I thought that he contributed in very crucial moments, despite us not winning anything. So,
agree.
One last question about Rafa, and I'll start with you, Dave. A prediction on where he lands.
I've already seen in the chat. About Sporting, I think he ends up in Saudi Arabia, goes to get his bag. But if that's true, he doesn't want to leave Portugal, then makes sense that he goes across town. But he's trying to make that bag. I wouldn't surprise if he ends up in Saudi Arabia, because he's got that. Again, I don't want to drag the guy. Maybe that's just his personality, but he seems like he's got that. That I don't give a shit attitude, so goes to Saudi Arabia and gets his money.
Yeah, Chris. Does it...
So if he goes to Qatar, then you're wrong, Dave.
No, let's just say
that area.
I know. I'm Chris, joking. I know that's.
Does he
I
go? Does he return home to the Pedreira?
No. He's not doing
he's
that.
He's not there yet.
Then I can tell you he's not doing that. No, because. He wants, as Dave said, he wants his bag. Either that or he hates his time at Benfica because he's asking for a lot of money. So it's one or the other. He wants money, because if it wasn't about money, he would have resigned at Benfica. But he was asking for a whole lot of money. So if he was just asking, it's kind of like, you know, you ask knowing that you're going to get the answer no anyway, right? It was kind of, if they do, they're okay, fine, I'll stay if they overpay me. So which means you really... All the stuff that we just said about him not smiling and this means that that's all true, that the guy absolutely despised being at Benfica. But to answer your question directly in terms of where I think he's going to go, I mean, I swear, bro, I'm not even trying to bail out of this one. I have no clue.
That's why it's called a guess, like, Cristiano.
Yeah, but then you got guys like
just take a guess, man. Just take a guess. Don't make it that, that complicated. It's like, not that complicated. Come on.
You got guys like Yo Graves and they're gonna talk about meeting bro and stuff. And I'm gonna be able to sleep at night.
Chris, you're off the hook. Just throw something.
This is off the record. Nobody's listening.
Ah, man, I heard Milan.
Dave, write that down.
No. No, but I did hear Milan. I just don't think so. I want to side with Dave. I think he goes out to the Middle East somewhere, because if it's about money, I think that's where he's going to make his most money. That's where he's going to get the biggest bag.
Kevin's saying that Rafa to join JJ. Kevin also said heard some German.
No,
team
I
linked.
Heard. I'm more specific. More specific. I heard. I don't know the name. I do know the name of the team. Algarrafa.
That's who's playing at Al. Who went to play
Pedro
at Algarrafa?
Pedro Martins is the coach.
That's right. Chico Marcelino said, "I say Germany or Saudi Arabia." Diogo Reis said Stuttgart. Apparently, so Diogo Reis seems to have the inside track here.
Stuttgart's not paying him more than Benfica, bro. So forget about that.
I don't think if he goes somewhere, he's got to go Benfica.
I said I didn't want to be tied down to this, but look, I'm being specific. I say Algarrafa.
Algarrafa. Yeah. Algarrafa.
No Algarrafa. Algarrafa. Yeah.
So he's gonna get his bag and his bottle then.
That's right. Yeah. Multiple ones. Anyway, changing gears to the last game of the season, the Chiwav happens this Friday, 8:45 local. 10th place, 11 games without tasting defeat. Currently can only get to 9th place if Farense were to lose against Portimonense and Portimonense in that battle that dictates that could dictate Portimonense's playoff spot, relegation playoff, I should say. No Ba, no Neres, no Marcos Leonardo, Cabral. I haven't heard anything in terms of Cabral being unavailable, and this is according to 00. I don't know how much inside information that they have, but that's what they have.
No, Cabral is a possibility. There's a possibility Cabral could recover for the game.
Yeah, there you go. And that's it. What else? I don't have much else. What else could we talk about?
Buddha. Okay, let me ask some questions.
Ask a question.
Does Roger Schmidt field the same 11? Because obviously that's a repeat.
There you go. That's a good question.
Or do we finally see the kids, like, you know, play? Like, in turn, like Cristiani, does he make his debut? Does João Rego play again? Does Di Maria, João Mario, Otamendi, these guys just stay in Lisbon and Cascais or wherever it may be and they play the kids?
Cristiano, what do you guys equipa que ganha 5-0 não se mexe.
The guy's been stubborn all year. You think on the last game of the season he's going to see some light?
He's going to change it up because it's already been reported in the newspaper that he's already been having meetings with Rui Costa and the structure planning next season. So maybe he'll give in to temptation, give in to the fans' wishes, and maybe he'll make us all happy in the last game of the season. I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
I wouldn't put money on that there. I think he's, like I said, he's been stubborn all season, so I think we would be foolish to think any otherwise that he's going to change from his tactics at this point. Even though I'm not going to say I don't agree with it, but we know Roger how he is, so.
Does RS take a victory lap and say goodbye to the fan?
Only if he's protected by the police, because he might get hit by a bottle of water.
He's got to have some shields in front of him.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Can I ask another question?
All right, Chris, you get full of questions. You took notes today. That's great. Penultimate episode. No, you finally came prepared.
No, he's asking the questions. We're providing him the answers.
No.
Yeah, you. I take no notes. You should know me by now, Alfredo. question. How did you guys feel about the atmosphere, the whole festive atmosphere at the end? And you, Freddy's too, in the chat, please answer this. How do you guys feel about, you know, the celebratory, you know, atmosphere at the start of the lose on Sunday? I'll go first, just so I can get out the way. I kind of had a little problem with it. Obviously, I don't expect people to go there and be crying or anything like that. But, like, celebrating and acting like all's well after a disastrous season, I kind of had a little bit of problem with that. You know, I'm not asking for no violence or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But I just, you know, it just, you know, Alfredo, Dave, you guys know how I always talk about urgency. And in a nutshell, you've seen why Benfica's in where they're at in today's, you know, in terms of whatever. See why this club has been far from being the club that they once were. Because everybody's just content. Everything was fine. Again, yeah, celebrate the goals. Don't get me wrong, but it was like nothing was wrong. Like the whole season was top. Was phenomenal. But how'd you guys feel?
Look, I think that I gotta take it with a grain of salt, because number one, I'm always very doubtful in terms of the atmosphere sound that's being broadcast by Benfica TV, especially this late in the season. There were signs, Roger out by the no name. There was also some ex posts that showed security guards escorting a young lady out or taking one of those signs out or whatever it was. And look, these are things that we don't see through the TV. So I don't know, being a spectator that's thousands and thousands of miles away and resorting to BTV to provide me with sound and sight, I don't know if it's a true representation of what was going on in the stadium. I wasn't on the stadium. I couldn't tell you. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, Chris. In terms, I think that there's people have to be a little bit more reflective, I think, in terms of, you know, how the season went and how do they want to support this team the next season. But I do understand what you're saying, Chris. I didn't expect more of a somber atmosphere just because of how we've seen the stand culture, the fan culture, especially the ones on the different sides of the stadium that are not the supporter sections. Yeah, I don't know. Dave, what about you?
The only thing, and I get where you're coming from, Chris, in terms of reflecting after a piss poor season, especially with all the expectations and the roster that we had. I'm just wondering, especially if we go down the route of keeping Roger Schmidt on board, when are we, what is it going to take? Because we can't have another full season like this. I know this last stretch, let's say a quarter, the last quarter of the season where things fell off the wagon here, but this can't continue for a full season. So is there going to have to be, if Rui Costa comes out tomorrow or at the end of the season and says, listen, I'm sticking with Roger, he's our guy, I would hope, whether or not we agree with the decision or not, we still need to support the club going forward, because this fractioning of support and you're for this guy and not for this guy, and I'm for voicing your displeasure, but we can't have another full season or go into a full season like that. It's not going to breed success, and I know Rogers already said that in his presser too. So I'm just wondering if we go down that line, what's gonna have to happen or to get everybody back on board? Is it Rui and Roger coming out, taking accountability and explaining themselves and hoping for a fresh start?
I'll answer that in a second, but I think Dave, you might have taken my question when I said that I expected a little bit of a, like Alfredo said, somber crowd. It wasn't directed at and I didn't mean that directed at Roger Schmidt. I was just meaning in terms of protesting the season, not a Roger Smith, right? So I see what you're saying, but it wasn't directed towards Roger Smith. But to answer your question, I think if Rikos does come out and he says it's the guy, I think we're all going to support, right? We have no choice. But I think that there will be a fraction of fans that the first bad result, this is going to pop up right away, and then it's just going to be an ongoing battle.
Ticking time bomb.
Yeah, it'll just – because I don't see how they're just going to get over it from one day to the next. I mean, I could see how they get over it, which is from the club just demolishing everything in front of them, right? But, like I said, the first bad result, there will be boos and there will be people voicing their displeasure.
Yeah. Kevin is asking what's everyone's take on the fans throwing flares on the pitch. I think that they have no place on the pitch. If you want to light them up in the stands and create a nice light effect, I'm all for it. But I think that interrupting the game, I think that it's something that shouldn't be done. But I'm not completely against flares. I think they just need to be used responsibly and in a manner that adds to the spectacle. Throwing them on the field takes away from the spectacle, in my opinion. So, Red Baron, I'm with you. I believe you will get another year also. I think that every week that goes by, I grow more confident that he's here for another year. So, we'll see.
You know how I feel. If he does, I think he's got to be really sure about this next season. He's got to be really sure, because if not, this could be the beginning of his demise.
Yeah. Yeah, Chico Marcelino is saying if Roger stays, he will be out by October for Lynch Sun Styles, and the season will be done. Well, that's the biggest thing, right? Because that's the biggest decision in Rui Costa's, in front of Rui Costa's face right now, is that it's a decision that's going to impact in a way that people are going to judge him come April and the elections. So does he stick with Roger Schmidt, allows him to continue, things fall apart, you bring a new coach, there's no guaranteeing that a new coach is going to come and going to turn things around. And if you got a significant deficit and you got a Sporting that's, again, in the same consistent level, it's going to be very difficult. And then come April, then what? Look at the choice that Rui Costa made at the beginning of the season. And look, it could also turn into the best season that Roger Schmidt has ever had at Benfica, and everything will go well, and we'll forget about the Ustatutos, and we'll forget about the audits, and we'll forget about the emails, and we'll forget about everything, because everybody's happy when Benfica wins. With style. Anyway, let's get out of here, man. Right in time for Pema Media also. Cristiano, you got any more questions?
I do, but let's get out.
Let's get out. We'll save them from next week. Next week, we'll be back. We'll have our buy, keep, sell, loan segment, and it'll be fun. Cristiano and I will be here. Dave won't be here, but he's going to phone in his answers. So we also have Dave's contribution. Thank you to all the Freddies that kept this company in the chat. Good conversation, all the guys that were watching us but didn't have a device that they could type on the chat. All good, man. We appreciate you all. Thanks to all the people who are going to listen to us later. Thank you very much. See you again next week. Later.